chapter 14, Jesus the Christ had just got through. You have to read it yourself. I'm not going to go into super details, but Jesus the Christ had just got through teaching, preaching, healing, also feeding the multitude. When he got through, he sent his disciples on the other side. They got in the boat and rode to the other side. And he went, the Bible says, in a desert place in the mountain to park to pray. We ought to always pray. When Jesus got through praying, the Bible says in the fourth watch, he walked on water. We're very familiar with that. Jesus walked on the water, and some versions say that when the disciples saw him from the boat, some of them thought it was a ghost, and they cried out. And I'm just touching a few points. And Jesus told Peter to get out of your boat, get out of your ship, and come to me. We know the rest of the story. Peter got out, had faith for a while, and then started sinking and saw the wave. The point I want to make is that boat represents, in Peter's life, those disciples' lives, in a lot of our lives, it represents fear. Jesus told him, get out of this boat and come to me. That boat or that ship in some men and women's lives represents guilt, shame, or doubt. But Jesus said, get out of that boat and come to me. That boat in some men, women, and children's lives, it represents what they say about you. Get out the boat and come to me. That boat represents in some men, women, and children's lives, your past. Jesus said, get out of your boat and come to me. Trust me and come to me. That boat is like a box. You hear the term, get out of your box. But Jesus said, get out of your boat, get out of your ship and come to me. That boat in some men, women, children's lives represents trauma. Jesus said, get out of your boat, amen, and come to me. Get out of your ship, trust me and come to me. That boat in some men's, women's, children's lives is the self-imposed limitations we put on ourselves that God did not put on us. Get out of your boat and come to me. That boat represents in some men, women, children's lives, your spiritual or physical laziness. Get out of your boat and come to me. Amen. I want to say good morning, everybody. I want to thank Hubert for reading the scripture reading. We're coming out of the book of Matthew, chapters 9, verses 10. Once again, I want to remember Brother Greg and everyone else on the bulletin and our prayers, including myself. I'm also dealing with health issues, but I want to thank Richard for we're going to have the prayer for Greg in particular about his upcoming surgery. I'm glad everyone came out. I know everyone in this building basically except Colton. Thank you, Colton, you finally made it down. Amen. Of course, Sister Wembley and her daughter, Shan. Thank you for coming out. It's nice to see. I heard they said they were here, in the back there. Thank you for coming out. Amen. I heard that you were ill. But in Matthew, chapters 9, and verses 10, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans, which are tax collectors, and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Verse 11, and when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. He goes on to say in verse 13, but go you and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the self-righteous, but sinners, amen, to repentance. Just for a minute, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Here we have Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, responding to the Pharisees, the Jewish religious and political leaders at that time. They were in great power, and they were also in authority. The scribes and the Pharisees, when you get time, read all of Matthew chapter 23. Please read that. We know, church, that the Bible is like a mirror. If we look into the Bible with an honest heart, it will tell us real time who we are and what we are. Amen. In Matthew, the chapter is 23. The first thing, Jesus gave a scathing rebuke of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus at one time called them liars. He called them murderers. He called them thieves. He called them fools. He called them hypocrites. At one point, Jesus Christ called the Pharisees and the scribes. He compared them to dead men's bones. Amen. Read for yourself and you'll see. Over in Matthew, the chapters 23, and verses 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and said to his disciples, saying the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now, of course, Moses is dead by now, but the Ten Commandments go on. He said, all therefore, whatsoever they bid you, observe it. The scribes and the Pharisees, once again, were authority. He said, now that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. They were hypocrites. It does no man or woman any good when a minister, a preacher, a teacher preaches God's word to you and he turns around and does something else. You should have no respect for that person. Amen. Jesus goes on to say about the scribes and the Pharisees, at one point, let me see if I can find it. He says, please bear with me. Bear with me. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, this was not in my original sermon. But look what he says about it. Woe unto you, warning, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you can pass sea and land to make one a proselyte. In today's terms, you cross land and sea to make a man or woman a Christian, to get them baptized. You'll say you go, he says you go all out your way, cross land and sea. But here's the thing about it, Gene. And when he or she is made, you make him or her twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Now that's bad. You go tell a man or woman about God, get them into the church, get them baptized, and when you get through with them, they twofold more the child of hell than when you met them. Amen. Now that's bad. Like I said, he did a scathing rebuke against them. Look in Matthew, same chapter, 23:23, talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe unto you, warning, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin. These are spices, household spices, just like salt and pepper. He says you'll do that. Because in the original, in the Old Testament, when we tithe, you didn't just give 10% of your money. You gave 10% of everything you own. And keep in mind, Julio, this was an agrarian society. So you gave 10% of your cows, 10% of your goats, 10% of your salt, 10% of your hay, whatever the case. But the point Jesus is making is, you'll tithe that, amen, and he says, and have omitted the weightier of the more important matters of the law, judgment or righteousness, mercy, which is kindness, empathy and compassion, faith and faithfulness, which is an obedient, trusting relationship with God. But look what the Lord God says. These ought you have done, the righteousness, the mercy, and the faith, amen, and not to leave the other undone. In other words, he's saying you kind of have it backwards. Richard, have you ever walked in on a conversation and someone is defending the fact that they're in the Church of Christ, and someone says, well, you're not what you say you are, or whatever. And the first thing that person will say, well, I go to church every Sunday. This is the point that Jesus is making. Once again, the point he's making is that I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Sacrifice is equivalent to our worship right here today. People will say, well, I'm in church every Sunday. But what we have to understand, church, is that your Christian life, my Christian life, our Christian life starts when we go out that door. It's real easy to sit in here, sit up straight in your seat, got you some nice clothes on, you put water in your face, you put your cologne on, you look the role, amen. That's easy. That's sacrifice. That's worship. That's easy. But Jesus said, but the point I'm making is your Christian life starts when you go out that door. What do you do with what you heard in here? Amen. He goes on to say in verse 24, you blind guides would strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Well, for you to strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, you're focused on the wrong thing. Amen. He says in verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, actors, pretenders, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. This, you know, one thing about the Bible, that it will speak for itself. He goes on to say in verse 26, that blind Pharisees, spiritually blind, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whitest sepulchres. Have you ever been to these real nice cemeteries that have these real nice mausoleums? They're beautiful. People put a lot of money in those. They're beautiful. But the point Jesus is making is, you're likened to white sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward. They're beautiful, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. So we have to be very careful, church, the point I was making earlier. We're not doing God in heaven any favors, Gene, when we look the role, but we're not doing what he says to do. We're doing God in heaven no favors. Now, in Matthew 23 through 28, well, I just read that. Now, Brother Reed, why are you really concentrating on scribes and Pharisees? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, the verses 20, you don't have to turn there. But Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 5 and 20, except your righteousness, except my righteousness, exceed. We have to be better than the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Take your time and read all of Matthew chapter 23 and see what type of people these were, the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus said, we're going to have to do better than them. Church, unfortunately, we have spiritual Pharisees today. First thing they told Jesus, or they said to the disciples, why does your master eat with publicans, once again tax collectors, or sinners? Is any part of the Bible where people say, is a pet peeve of yours? You sit with sinners. Church, we're all a sinner. Amen. Romans 3:23, all have sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. And the problem with some Christians are, people, we're caught up in these so-called big sins and little sins. I don't remember Jesus claiming big and little sins. Amen. Now, there's different consequences of the sin on this time side of life. I was going to make a joke about Chris and Gene, but Chris isn't here, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Well, no, I'll use Glenda and right here, Gene. I don't know why I'm looking at you. But anyway, the point is, if Glenda throws a piece of paper out the window while she's driving, and the right police officer sees her, he knows probably write her a ticket. Okay? Same. Not going to do that. Okay? It's against the law. Now, if she throws her husband out the window, now that's sad also, but much bigger consequences. She'll probably get handcuffs put on her and taken to jail. Okay? Had to make that joke there. Once again, different consequences on this time side of life for sin. But church, can we agree? Can we agree? All unconfessed, all unrepentant sin will lead us to hellfire. Can we agree with that? All unconfessed, all repentant sin will send you to the wrong place. You may smoke drugs in your home. You may beat your wife in your home, or she may beat you. You may gamble. All sin, unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin will send us to the wrong place. Once again, they said to Jesus, why does your master sit with publicans and sinners? Church, is so easy to look at other people's lives, what they're doing or what they're not doing, instead of looking at the man or the woman in the mirror. We forget God's amazing grace and mercy on our lives. Amen. Apostle Paul said, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Jesus said, I'll have mercy and not sacrifice. Church is interesting about mercy. We need it every day. So much, and praise God, his loving kindness and mercy is renewed every day, every morning, Lamentations 5:23. We need it so much, it's so important, but unfortunately, And too often we withhold it from others. Jesus said, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. And here's the problem, church. James 2:13 says, for he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy. Amen. Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. If we're not merciful to people, my grandmother had a saying, if we're not merciful to people, then don't form your mouth to ask God in heaven for mercy. Amen. Once again, Jesus said, go here and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the self-righteous, but I came to call sinners unto repentance. If we look at Luke chapter 18, verse 9. I love the way Dan, I don't know how to call him Eugene, but anyway, we can actually call him Eugene. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 and 10. Church, I love the way Jesus said this. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You're in a bad place when you think you got it all together and you're looking down on somebody. You're in a bad place. Jesus got a parable just for you. Once again, Jesus said, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. They can come in here to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed with thus himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all, amen, that I possess. Look at verse 13. And the publican standing afar off, but not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus in verse 14 says, now who do you think went away more justified with me? We got to have a heart of this sinner. We all are sinners. Amen. In church, that's what Matthew 5:3-4 is talking about. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed those that are mourning. We have to see that we are bankrupt and that we stand, amen, in need of God, period. And then verse mourn, we're grieving for that. God, I see that I need you. I see that I can't make this without you. I see that I'm nothing without you. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are those that are mourning. That's Matthew 5:3-4. Once again, Jesus said, I will have mercy, not sacrifice. Now go and see what that means. Lord God commanded Christians to show mercy and to be merciful to all men, particularly those of the household of faith or fellow Christians. Jesus said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Sacrifice and worship. Worship and sacrifice. Amen. What they did then is relative to what we do here today, worshiping God. We know worshiping God is assembling. Worshiping God is assembling, preaching, teaching, singing, giving, the Lord's Supper, the five acts of service of worship, brother, and our outward Christian walk with God every day. That's how we're worshiping God. But the point I'm trying to make is worship or sacrifice is not to be put above righteous living or mercy, kindness, empathy, and compassion, and faithfulness. Once again, that's faithfulness is an obedient, trusting relationship with God in heaven. Worship and sacrifice loses its effect. It loses its purpose. It loses its taste, like the salt Jesus talked about in Matthew 5:13. Church, we are the salt of the earth. The same thing that salt does in your kitchen pantry, when you salt food, you may put salt around your door to keep certain pests out. We are the salt of the earth. When we enter the room, Linda, when we enter any room and here on the job, in the DMV, we're supposed to preserve. We're supposed to heal. We're supposed to purify and influence. How do we do that? By folks seeing how we act, how we carry ourselves. We pray for folks. We leave our blessing there. We need to preserve, heal, purify, and influence all our surroundings. Amen. We once again, with our blessings, our prayers, and also bringing men and women to Christ Jesus. Over in Mark 9:50 in the Amplified Version.